Welcome to In Season, where we explore connections between people, land, plants, and wildlife here in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm Teresa Retzloff, and today I am so delighted to be talking to artist, plant person, garden coach, and dear friend Jessica Schleif. Hi, Jessica.
Hello, Teresa.
It's always such a delight to get to sit and chat with you about all things plants and nature and outdoors. And I had a really specific thought in mind, and you immediately came to mind when I thought, I want to talk about that. Because what I wanted to talk about right now is gardening with children, or having children in the garden, mm-hmm. and how do we engage children in gardening so that it's a positive experience for them and something where they might go on to develop, you know, a lifelong love of gardening rather than see it as something like, no way, I don't ever want to do that again. Because I think it can be very fraught, and it can be very fraught for parents, you know, or adults who are trying to get kids to help. And it came to mind because we're entering summer now here on the coast, and, you know, kids are off of school, and, you know, I know there's all talk about trying to get kids away from screens and get them outside and get them doing activities, and gardening seems like a great activity. But it can be fraught, and I've seen you interact with children, and I truly, you are a Pied Piper. I have watched you with this trail of kids just following you and hanging on every word and not stepping on the plants and being very gentle with things and just magical. And I can't do that. I don't have that skill. So what?
I think it's so difficult sometimes as parents, as you know, people that are taking care of farms and gardens, and we have these expectations about things that we want to get accomplished, and sometimes those expectations and the needs of children can kind of clash a little. And I love that question. It's like, how does that happen for me with the kids? And I think a lot of it is that I am really close to my play person, my inner play person, my connection with the natural world. And I think when I get around kids, in the same way when I get around cats and animals, you know, I get down to their level. I'm down there with them. We're looking at things. We're engaging around whatever's right there. I think setting up just some really basic, you're bringing the kids into the garden. Obviously, there's all different ages of children, and think some things are more accessible to, you know, kids that are entering the second or third grade rather than the tinies. Mm-hmm. But I think having them initially come and join us and really looking at the garden together, thinking about what are my what are my hard boundaries here with the kids, and just getting that stuff out of the way.
So would that be like places I don't want you to go?
Places I don't want you to go.
Tools I don't want you to use.
Tools that I don't want you to use that maybe someday you'll get to use these tools, or you'll have a tool like this yourself. I am recently doing a garden club with a small school, and I'm just so impressed. The kids have gloves, but all kinds of things are getting turned into tools. Spoons, forks, you know, things that I thought, oh, there's no way. And then I'm watching children use these to transplant and weed. And, you know, so I guess one of the first things, you know, we're looking at our space, we're saying, that one's not, this is for later or another time. These are important plants that I don't want to get trampled. Let's look at the plant people. Let's look at where our pathways are. And that is a real favor that we can do for not just kids in our garden, but visitors to our garden in general, to have clear pathways marked out, service pathways within beds. We don't have to have like a hardscaped brick or stone expensive pathway. We can literally just like have a barked pathway, or I often use stepping stones that are nothing but rounds. Mm-hmm. You know, rounds of wood that I'm like, where does it make sense to have the pathways? And sometimes watching where the kids want to go through the beds helps you say, oh, okay, we don't need to plant there. We can go ahead and give them a little.
If they continue to walk
exactly
in that place, maybe respect that that's where the path goes.
Yeah. I've often said that in consults with clients. They're like, my dogs just keep. I'm like, well, that looks like a pathway to me. Looks like maybe move some of the plant material, go ahead and bark that pathway and watch it and feel how that works and if it continues to be the pathway. And, you know, maybe later on there's like actual concrete stepping stones or that turns into something different. But clearly mark pathways for the kiddos. If there's dangerous plants, if there are poisonous plants, if there are, for many years, I wouldn't plant nettles in my garden because I was concerned about kids getting stung. I now have nettles in my garden and I watch the way that children that are interacting with my garden tell other children that are visiting, this plant, you don't touch this plant. Like having a respect for that plant, and it turns into something like where my fear was kind of unwarranted because the kids, as soon as you say, this is a plant that could get, you know, it could get you.
Yeah.
It could sting you. And taking that opportunity to explain that mechanism and how it works and how it's not really going to hurt them.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to feel great.
It's but not going to feel great. And then maybe showing them the antidote to that, you know, using dock or ferns to like rub the stingers out. And I have watched children pass that knowledge on to other children around that plant. You know, so something that seemed like a negative to me before I put it in, or something that I didn't want to put that plant in because I thought, oh, that's not good for the kids, has turned into this respect thing for the kids. They're really respectful of that plant. They're talking to other, they're sharing about that plant.
So there's an autonomy that they have.
Exactly.
And that seems such a key thing with so many kids. Like they like to have autonomy.
They like to have autonomy. They like to have unstructured playtime in the garden or unstructured work time. I think one of the biggest things that I've done for children in my life, my own life, is providing them with their own garden space. You know, really looking at like your layout and maybe following their lead a little bit. Like, where are they hanging out? Do they like that little private spot underneath the rhododendron? Do they want to have a shade garden there? Offering them a small part of the veggie garden and letting them know that they can grow whatever they want. It doesn't have to be vegetables, that they can pick flowers or things that they enjoy eating, that you could actually just hand them seeds at any age and just let them know that it's okay to be curious, to experiment, that there's not really a right or a wrong way. Yes, there's ways to get more radishes or more carrots.
But it's a learning opportunity. Even if you plant that seed and it doesn't come up, you exactly. can think about, well, why didn't it come up? Is it just not up yet? You know, exactly. Did something eat it? Should we plant more? What do you think? I've seen kids, you know, when I've watched them plant, there is this kind of tenderness and excitement and curiosity. They love dropping seeds in a mm-hmm. hole or putting a little plant in the ground and then seeing what happens next.
And talking about the seeds, that's one of the things that I love doing with children is like pointing out certain flowers or veggies and really like looking at the seed pods forming. Letting them gather seeds on their own, which I am just blown away at how diligent children can be with this once they tune into, say, a Sorrento seed or marigold seeds or poppy seeds, that they will, I mean, you give them a little container and or a basket or something to watch them go through the garden and look at things and be able to gather those seeds. Maybe make their own labels for little jars of seeds, and then to pass those on to other people or replant themselves. I think sometimes with kids, we have this idea that we need to be with them all the time. And yeah, we're out there, we can have adjacent gardening activities.
So they could be off in an area doing their own thing, and you can just have an eye on them, but they at least have a sense of, I'm doing this on my own.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing this on my own, and letting them know what they can pick. And kind of setting that up as a, that's an exchange that you're having on a continual basis in the garden. Asking, this is a thing I do with kiddos where I tell them they should ask the plant before they're harvesting seed, taking leaves for play, or other types of greenery for play, harvesting food, to just kind of check in with the plant and maybe check in with your adult in the garden too. Hey, is this okay to go for it?
Yeah.
No, I don't want, that's a really important plant for me this year and I'm waiting for this, or this is going to happen with it. How about this one?
So sort of gentle boundaries as opposed to like, no, yes, don't do that.
Exactly.
Oh, get off that thing.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
Or maybe even talking about the thing that they're interested mm-hmm. in and then redirecting. And there's very few things in yeah. the garden that I'm like, do not touch this.
Yeah.
But we all have things that we're doing differently mm-hmm. in our own personal gardens. And just kind of thinking about that beforehand when we're taking the kiddos out there. You know, setting some boundaries about things that are dangerous.
Yeah.
We don't want them to, you know, poke their eye out.
Well, it sounds a lot like, I mean, I think that this is something, and I've certainly had to learn this lesson too, you have to let go of some control.
Yes.
And accept that you're letting go of some control. And that can be very hard for adults when we have very rigid ideas about, well, this is the right way to do it.
And this is what I want to get accomplished.
And this is,
in
yeah.
this time.
And also, I think, don't look at your children, especially young children, as free labor. You know, they are not your unpaid labor force. Mm-hmm. If you want them to develop an enjoyment or a love of this, I think you can maybe help engage them in ways. But if that's what it starts out being,
yes.
like we're just going to go and weed for 2 hours.
I need you. And this is exactly, I was introduced to, I mean, I had some beautiful gardening experiences as a child. And also, I was introduced to insects as, this is a bad insect, this is a good insect, this is a bad plant, this is a good plant. To be able to have conversations where they're participating in that conversation, one of the things that I've been doing with kids lately is really looking at the cabbage moth life cycle and IDing eggs mm-hmm. on plants, IDing the caterpillar, the little worms, the mm-hmm. little caterpillar, the little green cabbage moth caterpillars, looking at how they hide in things, mimic things, and turning it into a fun thing. Like, we're looking for these and having a conversation about, how do you want to control it? Like, we want cabbages. We want these other things. These guys are eating them. What are we going to, how are we going to approach that? And that can be a different thing for different people. And it's a really awesome thing to engage the children in conversation around that. That there's not necessarily anything that's really bad or really good. There's just consequences to having slugs in the garden or
yeah.
cabbage moths in the garden. And then watching these kiddos come up with their own solutions, plans, you know, going around, getting a container, putting the little cat, the little green worms into the container. Some kids wanting to transport them other places. Some kids saying, you know what, I'm going to take these home to my frogs that I'm growing and see if they'll eat them. Some kids that have just decided, yes, I can kill that. I'm going to kill that worm. And doing that and allowing them to kind of come up with that on their own, like what feels good with it for them.
Rather than saying you have to kill that thing.
Yes.
Because some kids might not be comfortable with
this
it.
This is what I was brought up
yeah.
with, you know, like you go out and kill those and kill these slugs. And it was so.
Yeah.
It can
be really hard.
Oh my God, I can still like flash back to mm-hmm. pouring salt on a slug when I was probably in the second grade and
yeah.
just.
Yeah.
being mortified. I would have been really happy to transport that slug somewhere else if that would have been presented to me as an option.
Absolutely. Having said that, I can now kill cabbage moth worms with my bare hands, and I don't even care. Just squish that, and psh, you're out of here.
Eggs.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it took time to develop that.
It did.
And I think, and it was also on my own terms and with my own comfort level.
Exactly.
And I think if we allow children to have that too, oh my God, this is so great. I just want to take pause briefly and reintroduce you for anyone who's just joining us now. You're listening to In Season here on KMUN, and I am talking with the wonderful Jessica Schleif. She's an artist, she's a garden coach, she's a plant person, she's a dear friend, and she is wonderful with children in nature and garden settings. And we're talking about, you know, working with kids in the garden, having kids participate, and how do we develop, you know, an engagement and hopefully a lifelong love of gardening and nature and plants, and not have it be the kind of thing where, you know, kids tend to hate it. They just look at it as this chore. And it's like, oh, I've got to go out in the garden and weed for 2 hours, and I hate it. And I think for a lot of kids, that is their experience, and it ends up being something that's not great.
That they're expected to pull. You're gonna get a penny for every weed you pull. Man, I mean, I have recently been teaching some 7-8-year-olds about like weeding and just picking a very one plant.
Mm-hmm.
Buttercups. Oh, look at these beautiful flowers. They're interesting. They're a ranunculus. Also, let's look in this plant bed. Gosh, they're really kind of being a bully with these other plants.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go ahead and pull some of these, and let's look at how we can get the whole root system out, and let's see if we can fill up this bucket together. And then watching these 7- and 8-year-olds like really successfully weed. I'm like, ooh, I tried to tame down my expectations of like, oh my gosh, we're growing some amazing, you know, people that can work in the garden. But that can't be the only thing they're doing.
They need to have the like other pleasurable things or fun things to do, things that they're curious about, being able to have spaces in the garden where they can engage in their own way.
Exactly.
And that can be really hard too, I think, for people that maybe have very particular gardens or they want it to look a certain way.
This can be a container. This can be a pot that they get to grow things in. This can be a window box that they open up a window and there it is. They can play in that. They can have figurines in that. They can put seeds in and have them come up and have them not produce. They can, you know, also providing them with things that are going to be easy and they're going to feel a sense of satisfaction right away.
So what are some easy plants?
Oh, I don't know. Growing the carrots and the radishes just seem to light them on fire, and you have so much thinning to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty easy. You know, things that they like to eat, peas. I think peas are really great. You know, that's kind of in the veggie world.
Mm-hmm.
Tomato plants are pretty easy and fun, and they can be like, I have my own tomato plant.
Yeah.
You know, I've
got a cucumber, I've got a something.
And explaining to them the whys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we're thinning these carrots so that these can get bigger. And let's look, we're not going to thin the one that's by itself that's actually already getting bigger. Like really explaining to them why we're doing things. Really helping them ID seedlings. Like, so if things are coming up, self-sowers or things that we have planted, but say in your perennial garden, you've got poppies and calendula and, you know, some of these things are just coming back on their own, to be able to like get down there with them and explain to them which plants are which and really look at these very tiny leaves. And they're like, how can you do that? And explaining, look at this one, look at the edges of this one, look at the texture of this one. You know, this one's soft and fuzzy. Does it look like one of the adult plants in the plant bed? And that seems to really start to get them engaged. And then they can see why they might thin things or why they might weed. Because they want these other plant people to be able to come up and through. And giving them a respect for that cycle. That cycle of seed to plant to seed, you know, having fruit and flowers and then seeds again. There's so much there. And then if they want, you know, if they're older kids, to be able to pick something that they're really interested in and do some more research on that.
Yeah.
To name the parts of the garden, to maybe do some of their own thinking about the organization of the garden or what certain places mean to them or what they're doing in those places. And you're right. Like we often as adults can have ideas about what things should look like. And also, you know, form really follows function, and enjoying our spaces and actually getting to connect with the nature in our spaces. If you can turn the kids on to that, that's like a lifelong love affair.
I can also see going through this process, if you're willing to kind of set aside your own sense of like, it should be like this or it shouldn't, and getting down on the ground and looking at those things with kids, it can also reignite your own sense of wonder
stepping back
from that sense of like, oh, I've got all this stuff to do, or I've got it, it's got to be this or it's got to be that. You know, we often bring that kind of rigid, you know, impatience or structure to tasks, and then it's not as fun for kids.
Well, they're feeling the tension of that, they're feeling the expectations of that. And I know we all have things to get done, and there's been times with younger children where I'm like, I'm weeding, you pick up all the weeds, you put them into this wheelbarrow, and then those weeds turn into cats, and there's meowing, and there's conversation, and I can engage in that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can follow their lead. I can follow their lead into playing in the mud. You know, for me, like, I learned so much. I learned so much from nature. I learned so much from children.
I will say this for parents too. It's like not being afraid to let your kids get dirty. I just remember a time on my farm when I had some friends over with their kids, and we had this one area that was kind of a bit of a mud wallow.
I think I was in there with them.
I think you were.
Like, it's clay, you guys.
But just watching these kids like take their shoes and socks off and just wade into the mud and feel it squish between their toes and.
We made pottery out of it.
It was amazing. And then I remember looking over later, and like kids are just like smeared clay all up their arms and all over their face. I know, but I was laughing. Unfortunately, their parents were laughing too. But it made me remember how wonderful wet clay feels squishing between your toes, and how cool that is to get kind of dirty. And I think I was lucky that my mom was the kind of person who would just like hose us off before we came in the door. Same. And it was fine. You know, you could get dirty. That's what you do outside. And being okay with that and being comfortable with it, that's part of the experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of it, if you're going to go pick berries, you're going to get them smeared all over your face. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, too. That's part of the joy.
Yeah.
And the play.
And let the kids show that to us again. Because that is right there for them. Some of my best times are just, like, starting to follow their lead, you know?
Yeah. And it can help reignite that sense of wonder and maybe remind us why we garden.
Why do we garden?
I mean, sometimes, I think for some people, it is a chore. It's like, there's a landscape around my house and I've got to take care of it and rah, 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 rah. But it can also be a place of relaxation. I know, you know, for times when I was working more of 9-to-5 kind of jobs, and I would come home and I would have had a really stressful day, but I would immediately go out to my garden and just like say hello to my plants. And it was a calming down.
Yes. Yeah. That and also a creative outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I see the kids. When you give them their own space and they can engage that creativity to make a small world there, make a little moss pathway and take little off cuttings of your willow and make mini hoop fences. And, you know, that's a creative endeavor too. And I think a lot of us, I know you have that in you, you know, like that desire to have a beautiful picture in front of us, whatever that looks like. And those are gifts that we're giving the kids.
They're giving a lot back, or they can be giving a lot back if we listen and if we are patient with ourselves and with them And that is a lot of it. It's patience and not needing things to be a certain way.
Slowing down. Just slowing down.
Yeah. Which is good for us.
It is.
Yeah, I think kids have a lot to teach us in that sense, as we think we're teaching them, and we are teaching them. And there is a lot of knowledge to share.
And also just not, you know, just engaging them without having to be the expert. Mm-hmm. Letting them go ahead and tell you what they're thinking. Asking them a lot of questions.
Yeah. I have walked through my farm with children, young friends, and you know, let them pick a bouquet and kind of with them, you know, carefully, these are the snips, this is how you use them, mm-hmm. you know, and which flowers do you want to cut, and watching them cut different things and having, like, me having to step back and go, really, that's the one you want? Okay, that one was almost dead, but that's the one you really want. All right. But also, like, stepping out of it and being like, this is their bouquet.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you do the one that you really, and seeing the joy that they have in, like, just picking exactly what they want. And putting it together exactly how they want it.
And having all the rules that we've set for ourselves.
Absolutely. And it's and it's fine. And they feel proud of it and joyful and engaged with it. And, you know, who cares? You know, it's making them happy. And that's been a really good lesson for me. So children, yeah, I love seeing new generations of kids engaging with gardens and nature and plants. And yeah, mm-hmm. you have shared so much wisdom Aww. Today. Truly, I hope that people have found it useful. And if you have kids of your own, or you have grandkids, or you have friends with kids that come visit your garden, maybe think about some of these approaches.
And hammocks, blankets, you know, they don't have to be gardening when they're out there. They can just be playing,
yeah.
you know, playing with their toys, playing with other things.
Or reading a book in the sun. Yeah, anything that just is a lovely way to engage with being outdoors and being curious. Mm-hmm. It's very inspiring to me to think about this. And, you know, I feel so blessed that I got to have experiences like that as a child. And I think that that's part of what led me to doing the work that I do as a farmer. And you know.
Same as a feral outdoor. Get out there. I'll see you in, like, about dinner time.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be truly magical and transformative for kids. So I'm going to encourage everybody this summer.
Young Gardeners Club.
Yep. Woo! Let your kids get out there and get dirty and be curious.
And eat things out of the garden.
But not poisonous things. Yeah. And enjoy the season. It goes by so fast. And childhood goes by so fast.
Yeah. Jump in there. Play with them.
Yeah.
The weeds will be there when you get done.
It will always be weeds. Oh my gosh. Jessica, thank you. This has been such a great conversation.
Oh, thank you so much, Teresa.
Good reminder.
Questions. Thank you so much for initiating the conversation.
It's been a really good one for me. And, like I said, a good reminder of staying curious myself mm-hmm. and slowing down. So thank you so much. And thanks. I've been speaking with Jessica Schleif about gardening with children. Thanks for joining us for In Season. And we'll talk to you next time. Thanks so much. Mm-hmm.